From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. Today marks the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address given by President Abraham Lincoln. More on it a bit later in our program. Today we'll talk about the commodity markets, of course, with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Don Day will be here, too, to look at the agricultural weather forecast. And we'll hear from the United States Secretary of Agriculture. He has a timeline for the Farm Bill. We'll do it all in the next half hour as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a production of the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check now the numbers from the CME Group in Chicago. The nearby soft red winter wheat finished the December contract at $6.50 and a quarter. That was up 8 cents in the futures. The March contract at $6.59 and a quarter, up 6 3/4. And July wheat at $6.59 and a half, up 6 3/4. The hard red July at $6.92 and 3/4, 4 3/4 higher. December corn futures a gain today, up 5 3/4 at $4.17 and 3/4 of a cent for the harvest month. March futures 4.26 and a quarter, 5 1/4 higher in the May corn at 4.34 and 3/4, up 5 1/2 cents. July at 4.41 and 3/4 and nickel higher. December of next year, $4.55 and a quarter, up 4 cents. In the March at 4.65 in 2015, up 3 1/2 cents. January futures for the soybeans, $12.76 and a quarter, down 11 1/4. March futures 9 cents lower, 12.64 and a quarter, and the soybeans finished the May futures at 12.52 and 3/4. The settlement price down 6 3/4. July contract $12.49 and a quarter, down 5 3/4. In November of 2014 at $11.49 and a half, a penny and 3/4 lower. Bean meal at $4.08.90, down $6.90. Bean oil at $39.99, that finished 12 cents lower on the day. Live cattle futures in the December contract $130.95, up, or rather down 95 cents. February futures down $1.52 and a half at $131.67 and a half for the live cattle. Feeder cattle finished the November contract down 47 1/2 cents at $164.37 and a half, and January futures at $162.40 were $1.90 lower. December lean hogs down 17 1/2 at $85.42 and a half, and the February unchanged at $89.90 for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, December contract, $93.42 a barrel. That finished down 39 cents on the afternoon. December gasoline at $2.64 and 3 cents in the RBOB. That's a penny and 3 cents lower. Ethanol futures at $1.83 and a half, up 3 cents. And natural gas at $3.55 and 8 cents. That's 5 9/10 of a cent lower for the day. By the way, the difference or the spread between the RBOB and the ethanol is 80 8/10 of a cent wide now, 4 3/10 of a cent narrower than it was yesterday afternoon. Gold futures at $1,273.50 an ounce are down, or rather up $1.20, and the U.S. dollar at 80.7. That's down 0.12 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny skies, a high of 46 degrees, mostly clear this evening, and a low of 31. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a high of 50. Southeast winds at 10 to 14 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 20 miles an hour tomorrow afternoon. And then tomorrow evening, a 50% chance of rainfall coming after 7 o'clock Central Time. Cloudy and a low of 43 degrees on a south wind at 9 to 13. Showers will continue into Thursday, mainly after 7 a.m. Cloudy with a high of 49 degrees. Again, a south wind at 6 to 8 miles an hour. Chance of rainfall in the area set at 60%. And then Thursday night, rain is likely. Cloudy with a low of 42. Rainfall precipitation in the area set at 60% again, 60% for Friday as well, with rain mostly after 7 a.m. during the day, cloudy and not quite as warm, 46 degrees Friday. Friday evening, a chance of rain, even snow, mostly cloudy, and a low of 32. More on the weather forecast from Don Day when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 19th day of November, 2013. On the phone line, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Another busy day in Chicago, relatively speaking, though this time around they were testing some downward trend lines. Tell me about that for the soybeans.
Well, you know, the beans have been sort of the leader here, and we've seen the corn and wheat getting beat up as of late, Todd, that today we decided we're going to pick on the beans. We're going to take them through the 200-day moving average. And when we broke through the support at 1275, we went down to 1268, you know, rapidly. And then through the day, we built back on up, and we did close back above it there at 1276 today. Still down 11 and a quarter on the day, but it does stay above our trend line that way.
Well, that was better than not, although if you're looking at the charts, it did post an outside down day in the January soybean contract.
Yeah, like I said, it isn't all roses, but it is better than they aren't dead ones yet.
Well, that's better than having them dead, that's for sure. What do you see over the next, through the Christmas time frame? Usually we get to a point where the markets kind of get dull because everybody's thinking about Thanksgiving and then the rest of the holiday season, but we're not quite there yet.
You know, it generally seems like either the bears or the bulls eat turkey at Thanksgiving and the opposite eat it at Christmas here. So maybe we can see a little bit of sell-off here into Thanksgiving and then a little pump up into Christmas. But, you know, we're just seeing good weather in South America. We're seeing talk of Chinese business switching to South America here pretty soon. And on the other hand, we're seeing harvest start to, you know, finish up and the bin doors get locked. And we're seeing basis levels on corn at least stay fairly strong for this time of year for the last 10% of harvest. So it's sort of a conundrum as to what we're thinking here, because we should start to see, the bin doors or the harvest finishing up. That's generally when the elevators are taking in, you know, all the corn because their bins at home are full. So to see the basis levels as strong as they are is a little bit surprising. But all in all, the prices are lower here and the farmers aren't very aggressive sellers, and we are front-loaded on our export business.
Yeah, well, I was looking at the charts and thinking about yesterday's trade for the corn, which was lower. Today, while it didn't take back all of those losses, did a pretty good job of getting most of them back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the big bears are yelling, we're going for $4, we're going at $4. The December calls and puts go off the board on Friday. I believe the largest open interest is in the 420s. So I'm not too surprised we might end up just right in this range, you know, 2 or 3 cents above or below that 420 mark. Now, if some of the funds get very active, well, they can push it on down, but I think we're going to probably just chop around in here.
Anybody yelling $3 yet?
A three in front of it sometime before the year's out, lots of people are yelling that. But, you know, we're not yelling for $3 here in the near future.
Do you think that's very possible?
Well, you know, we only got to go 20 cents down and we've got a three in front of it. But so I think that there's going to be a time period where that could happen, yes, Todd.
Yeah, just simply because it's there and they can do it. It's kind of like a mountain, I guess.
It's going to be something that one day one of the large funds will go after. But all in all, I think, you know, that's going to be some areas where the world demand will pick up a little bit and we will, you know, see some business develop. The best cure for low prices, and these are pretty low to compare to what we've been used to. You know, we did hit 3-year lows yesterday.
All right. Thanks so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
We know there are just a handful of legislative workdays remaining for Congress to approve a new 5-year farm bill before the end of the year. Lawmakers must approve that measure or extend the current expired farm bill by January the 1st, or farm policy will revert to the Agricultural Adjustment Act of 1938. and the Agricultural Act of 1949. Those are the permanent farm laws. Those laws are mostly outdated and would have numerous unwanted consequences, including the potential for retail milk prices to spike high early in 2014. Well, the new farm bill is currently in conference committee, where some progress has been made in recent days, most notably concessions that the measure will contain both shallow loss and target price-based programs. Still, there are contentious disagreements over funding of food stamps and the milk program. Illinois Public Media's Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, asked USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack to lay out a timeline for passage of a new farm bill, and some of the issues still on the table.
I think there is a desire on the part of the leaders of the conference committee to work through all those issues and to get it done. That is really important. First was to get a conference committee, which it took far too long to get that done, but we finally got it done. And now it's the leaders, getting the leaders in a room. They weren't meeting, so I picked up the phone and I said, hey, guys, you got to get in the room. You're not going to get it done unless you start talking to each other. So they're talking to each other, and they're making progress. And their focus has initially been on the commodity title because that's where some significant differences were. And my guess is the last thing they're going to resolve is probably the SNAP issue, but everything else in between, staff's working on. And we're helping with technical assistance and constructive ideas as to how you might be able to bridge the gap. You ask, when could this happen? Well, there are some key dates here. December 15th is a key date because that's the date upon which the Budget Committee is supposed to report to the Congress their fix for the 2014 fiscal year budget. It seems to me as if they would like to know where the farm bill discussions are prior to December 15th. And that would encourage producers or the conference committee to get something reasonably concrete around the Thanksgiving holiday or shortly thereafter. The next big date is January 15th, because that's the date upon which the Congress is supposed to pass whatever the Budget Committee comes up with so that we have a budget. We don't have another shutdown. So it's conceivable that if this is going to get done, sometime between now and the end of the year, you would expect and anticipate that we'd have a farm bill. That would be my hope. Now, we've been disappointed before, right? But that would be my hope. And I think there is the desire on the part of everybody in the process to get it done. You hear the Speaker say it. You hear Majority Leader Reid say it. You hear the President talk about it. And you hear the leaders of the conference committee talk about it. So I think we're in a different place than we've been for the last 2.5 years when I've been talking about this. I sincerely hope the next time I come to this meeting that we're talking about, you're probably complaining about the fact we're not implementing it fast enough. Because we've been having this conversation for 3 years. It's crazy. The next key date is January 16th, because if they don't get a budget done before January 16th, or if they get some kind of continuing resolution in place, the sequester, that 7.2% cut, that goes into effect. And then the next date is February 7th, because that's the date that the debt ceiling gets reached again. And they're going to have to make a decision about what to do about that. So there's a lot of need for decisions to be made. And that gets me back to the comment I made earlier about this whole notion of silos. Somebody in the process has to look at the larger overall picture here. And they have to recognize that absent a farm bill, you have Brazil that can retaliate against our products under the cotton case. You have permanent law potentially going into place at the end of the year and creating havoc in the market. And you lose all the benefits, the job creation benefits, the research benefits and innovation benefits, the conservation benefits, the trade promotion benefits, and the safety net for whether it's farmers or for struggling families. You lose all of that by not having a farm bill. So if you look at the totality of the need and the importance that the Farm Bill plays in all of Americans' lives, it seems to me that that would be compelling for people to say, you know what, I'm going to give a little bit on this thing that I feel strongly about because my colleague over here is going to give a little bit on something he or she feels strongly about. We got to get back in the business of giving and getting instead of this notion that it's my way or the highway. That's not how small towns work. I was a mayor of a small town for 5 years. That was not the way the city council worked. You know, we had differences, but we worked them out. I was in the state legislature with a Republican governor. We got things done. I was a governor with a Republican legislature. We got things done. There's no reason this can't be done. You know, I think deep down inside in the DNA of Congress, there is the ability to get things done. It just hasn't been utilized for a while. And they need to experience success. They need to get a bill done and have people go, wow, this is great. We finally got a farm bill. And they say, thanks very much. Congratulations. And all of a sudden they go, it works. And they get reminded that it feels good to do something. It doesn't feel good to fight, to conflict, to always be at each other's throats. It feels a lot better when you got a product that you can be proud of. And this farm bill, as they work through it, has the potential for being something they can be genuinely proud of. It's a reform bill. It's an innovation bill. It's a trade bill. It's a jobs bill. It's an energy bill. It's a conservation bill. It's a safety net bill. It's a food security bill. And it benefits all of America. You know, what's not to like about that? So, you know, we're going to keep plugging and keep encouraging folks to get it done. And, you know, if it takes an extra legislative day, then maybe they stick around for a day. Or maybe they work on Saturday.
That was USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack discussing potential passage of a new 5-year farm bill.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Farm Doc Project at the University of Illinois, holding a series of 5 Illinois Farm Economic Summit meetings December 16th through 20th to discuss and analyze the most pressing economic issues facing Illinois producers.
Years ago today, November the 19th, President Abraham Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address. The Civil War had entered its third day. And for 3 days, more than 90,000 soldiers from the Army of the Potomac and about 75,000 troops from the Army of Northern Virginia had fought at a crossroads in Pennsylvania's fruit-growing hill country. Well, that clash between the Union and Confederate soldiers in the market town of Gettysburg stands as the largest land battle ever fought in the Western Hemisphere. On this day in history, President Lincoln came to the site to consecrate a cemetery in their honor. The brief Gettysburg Address marked a defining moment in the Civil War. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives, that that nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Now, here are the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa with one of their final updates for the growing season.
This is Katie Andla, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending November 17, 2013. Iowa's corn harvest, at 93% complete, advanced 5 percentage points during the week. Soybean harvest was nearly finished at 99% complete. 4.7 days suitable for field work allowed farmers to apply fertilizers, till fields, install tile, and bale corn stalks during the week. Iowa farmers experienced average temperatures 2 degrees below normal for the week as a whole. Tuesday morning's low of negative 1 degrees was recorded at Spencer Airport, marking the earliest sub-zero temperature Iowa has seen since November 4, 1991. Light snow fell statewide except in southwestern Iowa on Monday, with accumulation totaling 1 inch or less. Showers occurred Saturday and into Sunday in most of Iowa. Statewide average precipitation for the week was 0.25 inches, almost half the normal amount. Improved topsoil and subsoil moisture levels rated 69 and 42% adequate to surplus, respectively, and 47% of Iowa's pasture land was rated fair or better, while hay supplies across the state were rated 83% adequate to surplus. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Numerous tornadoes and strong straight-line winds were reported across Illinois on Sunday. The agricultural impact was small because almost all crops are harvested, but some producers will have a difficult time harvesting corn that was blown down on Sunday. In addition to high winds on Sunday, many locations reported their first snowfall of the season earlier in the week. The primary agricultural activities last week were applying fertilizer and harvesting late-maturing corn and soybean fields. Corn harvest advanced 2 points to 95% complete, compared to 100% last year and 88% for the five-year average. Soybean harvest reached 98% complete, compared to 100% 1 year ago and 98% normally. 86% of the winter wheat crop has emerged, compared to 86% 1 year ago and 84% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop is essentially unchanged from last week at 2% poor, 20% fair, 70% good, and 8% excellent. While the overall agricultural impact of Sunday storms was minimal, there are still people who have lost homes and loved ones. I'm very sorry for your loss. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Kiff Hurlbut with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Wet conditions delayed the finish of fall harvest. Wind damage to standing corn was reported in many counties after severe storms on Sunday. However, 92% of the corn acreage has been harvested, compared with 98% last year and 89% for the five-year average. Moisture content of harvested corn is averaging about 18%. 97% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared to 99% last year and 98% for the five-year average. Moisture content of harvested soybeans is averaging about 13%. Though the wet weather kept some farmers out of their fields, the soil moisture helped planted winter wheat remain in good condition. 93% of the winter wheat acreage has emerged, compared to 92% last year and 84% for the five-year average. 77% of the winter wheat acreage is in good to excellent condition, compared to 70% last year at this time. This concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report. This is Kiff Hurlbut reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress during the growing season. I'll be back in just 2 minutes. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Carbonated Beverage with Caffeine Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, the first export shipment of crude oil from the U.S. to Europe left from Philadelphia. A cargo of more than 1,300 barrels of crude arrived 7 weeks later in London. The crew of the Elizabeth Watts was shanghaied because recruiting a crew transporting oil was impossible. In 1883, William Simons died, a German-born English engineer and inventor. He was a pioneer in undersea cable and the steel industry. he developed a regenerative system using waste gases to preheat fuel gases, key in the open heath furnace used to purify steel. In 1918, Charles Richard Van Hise died. A U.S. geologist, he regarded soil conservation as crucial to the well-being of the nation. In his work, The Future of Man in America, he wrote, "We should work with the agents of the earth rather than reverse their work, as we have been doing since American settlement began." And in 1998, Ted Fujita died, a Japanese-American meteorologist. He was known as Mr. Tornado for his research into severe storms. He developed a scale for measuring tornadoes on the basis of their damage, and he was the first to verify downbursts and microbursts and their impact on airplanes. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. A couple of notes from our calendar section there. It says Outlook Panel Meetings. You can find some extension meetings, some of our WillAg marketing panels. Those are December 10th and 11th. The upcoming next to in Mount Vernon and in Sykeston, Missouri. So Mount Vernon, Illinois, and Sykeston, Missouri, December 10th and 11th. There will be a registration actually for both of those. So you'll need to visit our website at willag.org. That's because there's a meal involved with the two of them, and find all the information on those. You'll also find registration pages and some information on the Corn and Soybean Classic. That's coming up in January when the IPM or Illinois Pest Management folks go out from Crop Sciences for the Corn and Soybean Classic. And the Illinois Farm Economic Summit or the FarmDoc folks go out in the month of December. Registration open for both of those. Those are, of course, are both extension functions. Visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org for complete information.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the FarmDoc Project at the University of Illinois, holding a series of five Illinois Farm Economic Summit meetings December 16th through 20th to discuss and analyze the most pressing economic issues facing Illinois producers. Registration and details at farmdoc.illinois.edu.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day is on the phone line from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
What can we expect over the next 24 hours and then look forward for the prospects for the finish of harvest here in the Midwest?
Well, we're going to have some weather move in, at least, you know, through the next 24 hours. Not too much going on, some light shower activity and fairly mild across many areas of the Midwest, but there's a pretty good shot of cold air coming right out of northwest Canada that's going to be arriving and moving into all the Corn Belt Midwest as we get into the day Friday and into the weekend. It's going to be a lot colder. And out ahead of this front, while I don't expect a lot of precipitation, there is going to be some rain and a little bit of snow that could slow down harvest a little bit as we get into the Friday-Saturday time frame.
And if you look at other places in the United States, for instance, with the hard red winter wheat crop, maybe in other growing regions around the globe, South America, what do you see for the potential there?
Well, for the rest of the United States, we're going to be in a much more active weather pattern for the rest of this month and into the first week of December. It looks pretty cold from the Rockies and points east, and this will bring episodes of precipitation. Going south into South America, right now it's a fairly favorable weather pattern. South America, both Brazil, Argentina, looking at near normal amounts of precipitation over the next week to 10 days. Temperatures not far from normal as well. Australia, temperatures there not as hot, a little bit more moderate, and actually some rain chances in a few areas.
Anything else that we need to discuss before I let you go for the day?
Well, it looks like most of Western Europe, a lot like the United States, will be trending colder as well.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather. He's from Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the FarmDoc Project at the University of Illinois, holding a series of five Illinois Farm Economic Summit meetings December 16th through 20th to discuss and analyze the most pressing economic issues facing Illinois producers. Registration and details at farmdoc.illinois.edu.
Now that wraps up our program for the afternoon. You have a great day. Don't forget to visit us online at willag.org.